in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, I want to lay a foundation for you for worship, warfare, and witness. I want to build upon the foundation that has been laid in the weeks past about worship, warfare, and witness. And in Genesis chapter 22, we're going to learn something about the place that God designates for our worship. Amen? Let's read Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, God says it this way. God did something to Abraham. What'd God do? Oh, my goodness. Tell your neighbor, God will test you. Tell your neighbor, if it's true, that God's testing you right now. Anybody being tested right now? All right. Oh, my goodness. You're in good company because you're in the company with Abraham and all of the other children of God. God tested Abraham. And here's the good thing about the test that God had for Abraham. The test came with communication. God tested Abraham and what's that four-letter word after and? And said. Would you underline the word said? Would you please do that? I want to tell you, there are times when God tests you and he doesn't say anything to you. Oh, my goodness. But there are also times when God tests you and he speaks to you when he's testing you. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. There are times when God tests you when he doesn't speak to you. There are times when God tests you and he does speak to you. And there are times when God tests you and he calls you by name. Oh, my goodness, my prayer for you is that you'll hear God call you by name. My prayer for you is that you'll grow in your spirit understanding of such an intimacy that you will hear the voice of God like you've never heard it before. But God speaks with your spirit, but your soul tries to get in the way of what God's saying to you. Your soul is your mind, it's your emotion, and it's your will. And your soul will try to talk you out of the voice of God. Your soul will try to talk you out of your promise from God. Your soul will try to talk you out of your provision from God. Your soul will try to keep you from worshiping God. Here, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Now, whenever you hear the voice of God, that's a good response from you. That's a good response from me. Amen? Just go ahead and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I want to hear your voice. I'm ready for the test because a test isn't an opportunity to fail you. A test is an opportunity to grow you. A test is an opportunity to mature you, to deepen you, and to take you to that next level in your walk, in your intimacy, and your worship with him. And he said, here I am. He said, all right, and here's where it gets tough. Take now your son. Now, you know what your soul would say to you at that point if you were Abraham? Well, which son is he talking about? Now, but what the Spirit would say, your only son. Your only son. Well, which one would that be, Lord? That only son that you love. Well, which one would that be, Lord? His name's Isaac. Do you see how specific God will be with you and how specific God will be with me? He will take you right down to the details because there's no need for guesswork when God's got you in school, when God's putting you to the test. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will what? Now, our foundation and the first point of the message that we've been preaching to you about is that God designates the place for our worship. God designates the place for our worship. And what God was telling Abraham is that I want to worship with you. I want to worship with you, and I'm going to designate a place. And I want you to offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will what? Tell you. I'm going to tell you which mountain. I'm going to designate the place for this to occur. Now look at verse 3. It says, so Abraham arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Now, here's what I want you to understand about God designating the place for you to worship him and for me to worship him. Sometimes it's a geographical place. Sometimes it's a private place. Sometimes it's a public place. Sometimes it's a congregational place. Sometimes it's an unusual place, but God would designate a place for you to worship. Now look at this. On the which day? On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes, and what happened? He saw the place from a distance. What place? The place where God had designated for Abraham to worship him. Now here's what I want to talk to you about today is the seven elements, the seven foundational truths about worship. You see, if God desires to be worshiped, and he does, if God demands to be worshiped in a particular way, in a particular manner, and he does, we need to know about God's desire. And we need to know about God's demand. Jesus builds upon this, and he tells us in John that the time is coming and now is when all who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, why are we talking about worship in this place right here? Because Abraham actually understood it that way. He tells in Genesis chapter 22, in the text that we were reading, that Isaac and him were going to go to a place and worship God. You see, what we're talking about today is what the Bible teaches us about the law of first mention. The law of first mention is a principle of hermeneutics, or the principle of interpreting Bible, or interpreting Scripture, or interpreting doctrine. And the law of first mention is this, that whenever a doctrine is mentioned for the first time, whenever a word is mentioned for the first time, whenever a truth is mentioned for the first time, then God will be bound by that truth and that understanding for the rest of Scripture. Now, this is not the first time that worship occurred in the Bible, but it is the first time that worship is mentioned in the Bible. And so Abraham understood that what God had said to him was he was his invitation to worship him. And so let me show you the several principles here about worship, because I believe that God has designated this is a place for us to worship today. I mean, you started out rich. You started out strong. You started out vibrant. You started out vertical. And I believe that God wants to take us on into that place today. Amen? Amen. But let me tell you about worship as best I can today. God, give me grace. God, give me anointing. God, give me release that I can share these principles and truths with you. And God, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that are prepared to receive this. And oh God, may we do what you'd want us to do. May we worship you today. Oh God, we want to worship you today. Oh God, we want to worship you today. First thing and foremost thing about worship is that worship involves revelation from God. You'll never worship God without revelation from God. But God is all about revelation. Amen? Look at what your Bible says. It came about after these things that God tested Abraham and what? God did what? God said. When you see that God said, when you see God spoke, when you see the word of the Lord came, that is revelation. That is God revealing himself. That is God revealing his word. That is God revealing truth. That is God revealing plans to whoever it happens to. And this was what God was doing. He was giving revelation. And it came about after these things that God tested Abraham, and God said to him, God spoke to him, God revealed something to him. And then God gave him the details. Take now your son and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will what? Tell you. Here's the thing about worship. Worship always begins with revelation. But God always intends on revealing more than he's already said. You see, it's kind of like the first revelation that God gives us as a tease. It's kind of like the first bit of revelation God gives us is a precursor. It's a prelude to what else God wants to say to us. Amen? And God did that for him. Do you remember what Peter said when he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Simon Peter, you're blessed. You are blessed because flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven has what? He's revealed that to you. If you're ever going to worship, if I'm ever going to worship, it's going to involve revelation. That is, God desires to be worshiped. That's revelation to you. God demands to be worshiped in a certain way. That's revelation to us through Spirit and truth. What is Spirit and truth? Spirit involves the human spirit, and Spirit involves the Holy Spirit. What is truth? God's Word is truth. And if you're going to worship God, you're going to worship Him based on something that He said. Amen? So every single day of your life, every single day of my life, I know that God wants to be worshiped. Amen? So if God wants to be worshiped, then that means that He is going to reveal something to me. When I woke up this morning, God had revelation for me. When I woke up this morning and the sun was still coming up in the east, that was revelation to me that God is still on His throne and this is the day the Lord has made and it's up to me to respond, rejoice, and be glad in it. Oh, hallelujah. Every time the sun rises, God is giving you revelation that this is a day that I'm entrusting to you. This is a day that I want to be worshiped by you. This is a day that I want to be intimate with you. Oh my goodness, so many times our soul talks us out of worship. So many times the flesh talks us out of worship. So many times the devil talks us out of worship. And because we don't see the revelation, we don't hear the revelation that God has for us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, your Bible says, "Then David the king went in and sat before the Lord." What was he doing by sitting before the Lord? He was looking for revelation. He was listening for revelation. He was needing revelation. There was something that came to his mind. There was something that came to his heart. And there was something that his will was wanting to do, but it had nothing to do with what God had said. And so he had to correct his mind and his motions and his will. And he went and he sat before the presence of the Lord. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, listen to what it says. "The Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me all the details of this pattern for this temple." Can somebody say amen? So what we look for every day is revelation from God. That is God revealing something, God illumining something, God manifesting something to your spirit that you don't know, that you need to know. And whenever you see any kind of revelation from God, just take it, that's His invitation that He wants to worship you that day. It could start with the sunrise in the morning. It could go to the you realizing that, hey, I am waking up. I may not have wanted to wake up, but I am waking up. That's revelation from God. I want to worship you today. I want you to worship with me today. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh my goodness, God, the things that God has in store for you today, the things that God has in store for me begins with revelation. But let me show you the second thing that is so important. The second thing that's so important. If the first point is true, and it is, then the next thing is the most important thing, and that is worship requires obedience from us. Worship requires obedience from us. The first two letters, in that scripture are the most important in this invitation to worship. What's the first two letters? So. Oh my goodness. So Abraham rose early in the what? He rose early in the morning and he saddled his donkey. The first two words are the most important words in this encounter between Abraham and God, because disobedience to revelation is a worship stopper. Can somebody say amen? Now, that's why when we're in a worship setting like this, when we are in a worship setting like this, what we need to understand is that God is speaking to us. God is speaking to each and every one of us individually, and that's why there are times in your life and times in my life when you hear the voice of God, it's going to call, it's going to require you to respond in some way or another. Sometimes it might be a tear is going to flow down your cheek. That's a response of obedience to the truth that you've heard. Sometimes it will be a hand that's lifted. Sometimes it will be a shout of amen. Sometimes it'll be a confession of something. But whatever God's asked you to do, you need to put it to work as quickly as you can. Abraham had won this battle right here and right there when God had revelation from God. He had revelation from God, and then it was up to him to decide whether he really wanted to worship God or not. You see, as he began to walk and he began his journey, he understood he was going to worship God, but he would never worship God if he had any form of disobedience in his life. So if we're going to worship God in spirit and truth, revelation from God is necessary. But then obedience to God is the next essential thing. Can somebody say amen? Let me show you the third thing that's necessary for worship. And that is, worship requires separation from others. Worship requires separation from others. You know, there are times, and it might be in the song portion of the service, that God speaks to you, and God says, I'd like to meet you at the altar. And but nobody's at the altar. And what we do is we stay in our seat. We stay in our position. And guess what that is? That's disobedience. And disobedience, remember, is a worship stopper. And if you get a prompting, if you get a prompting to go to the altar, guess where you ought to go? You ought to go to the altar. There are times, believe it or not, I've read it many times in the Bible, there are times when God has prompted people to get on their face. There are times that God's prompted me to get on my face. And there are times that I have, and there's times that I haven't. But you know what the real reason usually is? What would others think about it? What would others think about me doing this thing? Look at what your Bible says. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will what? You see, there's nothing wrong with these young men. They were trusted servants. They you know, obeyed the orders and the commands of Abraham. They wouldn't think of doing anything to dishonor him. But there are some times when you've got a revelation from God, there are some times when the obedience that's required of you is going to require you to separate yourself from some other people. Sometimes it's just a brief separation. Sometimes it's just a momentary thing. And again, if we put it in the setting of this service, if we put it in the setting of this service, when God says that I want you to do this with me, I want you to do this for me, then we say, okay. And so we start to do that. But you've got to separate yourself from somebody else. You've got to separate yourself, and you've got to go to where you can carry this out. But there are times. My return back here, required me to separate myself from a whole lot of other people in order that I could come and do what God is asked of me to do. You see, there are times when there are people that you are with. There's nothing wrong with them. They're good people. But they can't worship the way that God wants you to worship. They will never participate in what God's asked you to participate in. And there's times when those things happen that you've got to be willing to separate yourself from those people. And you've got to be willing to go to the place that God has designated for you to worship. You know, sometimes it's your family members. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's friends. And sometimes it's strangers. But I want to tell you, you might be walking down the street one day. You might be walking down the sidewalk one day. You might be at your work, and the Spirit of God reveals something to you, and it's requiring obedience from you. And you're going to have to respond, and you're going to have to separate yourself from somebody else. Sometimes you have to separate yourself. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from other things and other places in order to worship God in that next level that He wants you to worship at. But number four, worship involves sacrifice from us. worship involves sacrifice from us. Now, please don't check out on me just yet here, okay? Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it on whom? Isaac. Now, who was Isaac? His son. Which son? His only son. Which son? The one that he loved. And he laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took his hand with the fire and the knife, and so the two of them walked together. Again, this is the law of first mention. This is the first time the word worship, the doctrine worship, is mentioned and revealed to us in the Bible. And so it sets the stage for worship throughout the Bible. If your worship doesn't cost you something, then you have not worshiped. You've just had a religious experience. You know, if worship doesn't cost something to your sensibilities, if it doesn't cost something to you physically, you know, that's why I admire so much as I look at people who really make an investment to worship. Look at our sister right here. You know, look at this walker right here. Look at her mother, you know, right here with her. You know, it cost them something to be here today. It cost her some extra time to go by and pick up Mom. It cost her some extra energy. You know what it cost Mom? She has to get ready. She has to walk. And walking is not as easy as it used to be for her. But I want to tell you, God honors this. And God said, oh, I'll bless that right there. I will meet that person right there. Look at Sister Jean over here. It cost her something. Look, sometimes physically it costs you something to worship God. But oh my goodness, sometimes it doesn't cost you just physical things. Sometimes it costs you the sacrifice of time. Sometimes it costs you the sacrifice of pleasures. Sometimes it costs you the sacrifice of entertainment. Sometimes it costs you the sacrifice of relationships. Sometimes it costs you the sacrifice of smartphones. You know, there's some people that they'll never worship because they're worried about what somebody is saying on Facebook, or they're worried about what somebody's saying in a text more than what God's trying to say to them. Come on now. Come on now. Sometimes they think they're fooling the preacher, and they say, well, I'm reading the scripture with you right here. But the scripture wasn't funny like you were laughing. You know, the scripture, you know, you weren't showing that person next to you right there. Come on now. Can you see me up here? I can see you out there too. All right. Hello. Sometimes we've got to sacrifice from us. We got to put the social media down. We've got to put the cell phone down. We got to put the cares of the world down. And we got to in and get obedient to what God is saying. Do you understand that? Say amen. You see, because it's not just enough that you get up and you get dressed. It's not just enough that you get up here and make the physical effort to get here. Why are you here? God's got something for you here. God's got something for you here. And what God's got for you here today is more important than what's waiting on you outside. Because whatever's waiting on you outside, you need what God's got for you in here to handle what's waiting on you outside there. And sometimes we don't worship because we don't sacrifice. We it don't cost us anything. I tell you, I've been at this for over 30 years. Pastor David, Pastor Darrell, I know y'all have heard this before. Well, I just didn't get anything out of that service. That's your problem. Worship's not about what you get. Worship's about what you give. And when you give it to the worship, you're going to be getting from the worship. But even if you don't get anything out of that, you've given something to God, and God has allowed you to worship Him. Oh, do you understand that? Do you get that today? So worship requires separation from some others. Worship involves sacrifice from us. But oh, look at number five. Worship involves renunciation by us. This is the law of first mention. So it's going to define for us what real worship is going to have. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, behold, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You see, for Abraham to ever get to this place right here, he had to have some self-renunciation. There's two things that we need to renounce in order for us to obey what God has said. The first thing that we have to renounce is we have to renounce our human wisdom. Our personal will must be renounced, and our personal wisdom must be renounced. All right? You see, Abraham, it would have made absolutely no human sense or common sense for him to give to God in worship his son. He could have said, God, I'll do anything in the world you want me to do but that thing. Now, how many of you know when you got a that thing, that's the thing you're going to have to give to God? And you're fortunate if you only got one thing. Whenever you got something that's more precious to you than worship with God, God's going to want that from you. Because God will not take second place into anybody, to anything in our life. And sometimes we don't know that there's that thing that's more important to us than worship until there comes a conflict between worship and that thing. And here Abraham is. He knows that every promise God's ever made, he's bound up in that thing. And Abraham, he had to come to the place in his life to where he had to renounce his personal will in the matter. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he had to renounce his personal wisdom in the matter. You know, Abraham could have gone through, and all the patriarchs could have gone through, and you know, Moses could have said, you know, well, I don't do Red Seas. Joshua could have said, I don't do Jordan Rivers. And Daniel could have said, I don't do lion dens. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have said, I don't do fiery furnaces. It just offends my wisdom, you know, for me to have to do that. Mary could have said, I don't do virgin births. Jesus could have said, I don't do crucifixions. But in order to worship God, it's based on revelation. It involves obedience. It involves sacrifice. It involves renunciation. And you have to come to the place, and I have to come to the place where I'm willing to renounce my own personal wisdom on a situation, and I have to renounce my own personal will and line up with God's will. Amen? You know, how long does it take us to get to understand that when God says, I want you to lift your hands, that it don't matter if it's not wise to you. It don't matter if it's not what you don't feel, that you feel like doing. God said, lift your hands. And when God says, give a shout unto the Lord, then it don't matter what seems wise to you. Man, you're blessed and fortunate if God only says to you to give him a shout in the sanctuary. What about when you're walking down the street and God said, I need somebody to shout to me right here? What about when you're in the grocery store and God comes on you and said, I need a shout to come in this grocery store right now? I'm telling you, God's trying to make it easy on you by getting you to shout in here. When God gets you out there and he's wanting to shout for me out there, then you're going to have to lay that thing down and say, okay, Lord, here we go. We're going to give it a shout right here. I mean, Christ is in you. I mean, the Christ that was virgin born, the Christ that conquered death, the Christ that conquered death, he's in you. And what he could do when he was out there, he can do when he's in here. And there are times when he said, I just need you to carve out a space and worship me right here and praise me right here. Oh, my goodness. We've got to get to the place where our personal wisdom and our personal will is secondary to God's wisdom and God's will. Amen? So worship involves renunciation. Worship involves relationship with God. That's what it's all about, relationship with God. Remember, Isaac has just asked him now. I mean, they're going to worship. They're going to worship. It's based on the revelation that Abraham's got from God. So he's obviously got a relationship with God. He's heard God's voice. He's received God's word. And he's walking in obedience to God's will. Isaac is asking him a question. Said, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the sacrifice. Well, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. How could Abraham say that? It's because he had a relationship with God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. And Jesus said, no other will they obey, but my sheep will obey my voice. This whole worship experience was based on a relationship with God. And my goodness, it better be a good one. Because guess who's back at the tent? Sarah is back at the tent. And guess who's walking hand to hand with Abraham up Mount Moriah to be sacrificed on the altar? You talk about having to renounce some things and separate yourself from some people. You know, here Abraham had to do that in order to worship God. But worship is all about a relationship with God. There are times when God gives revelation to you, and the revelation he gives to you is that the reason that this worship thing don't mean anything to you is you don't have a relationship with me. But God's invitation for you is to repent and be saved and receive the forgiveness of all of your sins. Then after you've repented and after you've received the forgiveness of sins, then the pattern continues day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. God's wanting to reveal more of his relationship to you and more of his mighty deeds to you. And after you know him in redemption, then you get to grow with him in sanctification. You get to grow with him in worship. Oh my goodness, it's an exciting thing to me. I didn't think life could get any better. You know, October 22nd, 1980, I didn't think life could get any better after I got saved on the 21st. I didn't think God could get any sweeter. I didn't think his word could get any better. I didn't think worship could get any more glorious. My goodness, I wasn't even out of the incubator very good. And over 30 years now, God has proven himself sweeter and greater. And I've learned more things about him as I've learned more about worship. But it all comes back to my willing to be obedient to his voice when the voice is heard. Amen? Let me show you this next one. Worship involves a relationship with God. And worship involves blessing from God. When God makes revelation to you, when you hear the voice of God, and when you obey the voice of God, and when you make the sacrifices to worship God, and when you make the renunciations to worship God, and when you strengthen your relationship with God, and you worship God, guess what? God's got blessing in store for you. Look at what God says. And God said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. Look at the next word. What's the word after Lord? Because. This is the purpose. Because you have done this what? Ooh, let's talk a minute, okay? Oh, my! I believe that every single one of us have a thing that God's asking us to do. God's got a thing that he's asking every single one of us to do, and it really depends upon whether we're willing to do this thing or not. I don't know what your thing is. You're fortunate if it's one thing. But because you've done this thing, oh my goodness, I can count back over my lifetime the time that I've had some things that God has asked of me. And every time I've been willing to do the thing that God's asked me to do, he's always blessed me. Look at what he says. Because you've done this thing and you've not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly what? Bless you. I will greatly bless you. And the dependence upon blessing is dependent upon the obedience in worship. When you worship God, God obligates himself to bless you. God obligates himself to release supernatural power to release supernatural presence, to release supernatural favor into your life, onto your life, and then through your life. But it's all dependent upon you worshiping Him and me worshiping Him. Oh my goodness, the times we need to ask God to forgive us just for going through the motions of worship. My goodness, the one place that we ought to be ahead of schedule on and before time on is worship. Oh my goodness, nothing ought to be more important than us getting to the house of God in time to enter into the first stages of worship. It's not warm up for the message. It is time to have revelation released into our life so that we can address the problems in life, the burdens in life, the opportunities in life, the privileges in life, and go to the next level of intimacy with God in life. Amen? God says, by myself, I've sworn this to you, son. Here's the principle to understand. God will never be a debtor to an individual. God said, I've asked you to do what I've been willing to do myself. I'm giving my own son for you. I'm giving my own son, so I know what I'm asking of you. And I see that you're willing to do this thing that I've asked you to do. And because you're willing to do the thing that I've asked you to do, I've sworn by myself, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to greatly bless you. Does anybody like to be blessed today? Anybody like to be greatly blessed today? Oh my goodness, it starts with revelation. Now remember, God desires to be worshipped. So here is a foundation you need to build into your life and I need to build into my life. If God desires to be worshipped, and He does, and worship is dependent upon revelation, then I ought to be listening for the revelation because God wants me to worship Him today. I ought to be listening to His voice. I ought to be in tuned, you know, to His words. I ought to be listening for truth because when God reveals that, He's gonna ask a response for me. And if I can build an SO into my life, whenever the revelation comes, my response is going to be characterized. So He did that thing God asked Him to do. So He started walking towards that thing. Because you see, what you see in this pattern of worship, what you see in this pattern of worship is God didn't tell Abraham everything he needed at the beginning. Now, what God told him in the beginning is, this is what I want you to do, and you're going to do it at a place that I'm going to show you. And so Abraham immediately began walking towards what God had said. He didn't have all the revelation. He didn't have all of the information, but he had enough to get busy. He had enough to get up. He had enough to get obedient. And so your Bible says 3 days later, Abraham's still walking in obedience to the last word God said. 3 days later, 3 days later, God showed him the specific place He was designating for this special worship. Amen? And then when he gets up there, Isaac asks him a great question. Isaac asks him a challenging question. Dad, well, I got the wood and I got the fire, but I don't see the sacrifice. Just lay down, son. It's going to be all right. Because I know God. And God's going to provide for Himself some way that doesn't make sense to me, some way that I don't understand. I don't have any idea how you're going to get up from here and walk, but you're as good as dead, but you're going to walk in resurrection power. But it's going to happen because I know God. And this is what I know about God. And so Abraham worships God by renouncing his will and by sacrificing the most costly thing to him. And by being obedient to the revelation God had given him. Now, how many of you believe that you're going to have opportunities this next day, this next rest of this day, that you're not properly going to be equipped to do unless God comes through for you? If God lets the sun come up again tomorrow for you, how many of you know that whatever is in tomorrow, you need the presence and the power of God to handle tomorrow? Don't let your soul talk you out of worship. Your soul is your mind. Your soul is your emotions. Your soul is your will that's independent from your spirit. God speaks with you spirit to spirit. But your soul that's not surrendered to God wants to challenge what God's saying to you. Now here, Pastor David, if you could go and prepare to lead us in the rest of this worship set. I believe God has got some incredible things that He's wanting to do in you, on you, for you, and through you. I just cannot help but believe that in a room this size with this number of people, and even those watching by way of the live stream that are going to listen to this in the days and the weeks and the months to come, that right here and right now, God's got something He wants to say to you. And God wants there's some way for you to respond to Him. Amen? Father, I've just come to this place right now, and Lord, I've done all that I know to do at helping to encourage myself and how to worship You in spirit and truth. Lord, if You're going to be worshiped today, and You desire to be, if You're going to be worshiped today, we need to hear from You. And Lord, if we hear from You, we're going to obey You. Lord, if we've heard from You 3 days ago, but we've not heard anything else from You until today, we're going to keep walking in obedience to what You said 3 days ago. But we're going to worship You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, @truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.